You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids!
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's dance-off, bro! Me and you!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gilpin.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Martin Bruda.
Chris Gilpin. Hopefully you can hear us because we can't hear us.
Yeah, we got some speaker problems, headphone problems here.
And then look what happened. One of the ears popped off my headphone.
Everything is going wrong today.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
I was just going to comment that last week, Sam was playing with those little dials and knobs there and did something and made it so that I couldn't hear week.
Same thing happened to me, but I like literally just plugged my headphones in.
I can hear it. Okay.
Yeah, I think we got a fried board here, so we might have to do this without headphones.
This show is just going to be us playing with the board.
I can hear now.
Well, there you go.
One of us can hear. I'm special.
That's because you're awesome.
I think Sam put the whole board in his mouth last week, maybe.
He probably did. So.
Do we have any levels? Or are we actually like?
Yeah. Yeah, I can kind of hear.
All right. Well. No headphones. Hey, comics!
You're pulling a Sam, too. Going, the middle seat is for the no headphones.
There you go. Comics.
Comics.
So.
Oh, it just popped into the other ear.
Yep. Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Don't touch it.
So don't touch anything.
Don't touch anything. And he touched it.
Yeah, but it's still okay.
You still got sound?
Yep, in one ear.
Okay.
Which is better than no ears.
Hey. I think we should start a show. What do you think?
Welcome to Hey Kids Comics. We'll edit out the past 3 minutes.
There you go.
Oh, all right. Boy. Well, that threw us for a loop. Anyways, comic books. What did anybody got anything interesting? Anything new? I'm going to start right off the bat since we're kind of discombobulated here. This week, the second Archie published Marvel Comics Digest came out. It's the Avengers this time around. The first time was Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And the Spider-Man is still available at Walmart. I saw it there on the rack at Walmart. So it's kind of cool that you get comic books at sort of the grocery stand there where the kids can get it. So this is Avengers, same thing, whatever it was, $7.99, I think. And it's just chock full. It's just chock full of new stuff, old stuff, stuff taken from the kids' lines.
Is that why these X-Men have really big heads and little bodies?
Yeah. It's got to look all anime-ish for the kids, so it looks pretty cool. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but it looks pretty neat.
You need some good eyes, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, it's digest, so I think that some of the pages... Like, the big thing with the digest in the old days, right, the comic books were bigger to begin with.
Yeah.
Right? A little bit wider, so it fit the format better. This one here, I think,
I can read some of the words.
There you go.
Breka, zrak, chak, chak. I got those ones.
There you go. I feel like it wasn't a problem when we were older.
Ka-choon, vroom.
You could read that, listen to that stuff.
Yeah, I got this word. Eee.
You're only reading the sound effects, though.
Yes, that's right.
Chris can only see the sound effects.
That's right.
There we go.
Oh,
I'm just going to keep cranking dials until we get sound here. I think Dan just got deafened.
Yeah.
So what's in here? Did we look? Which episodes? Because in the Spider-Man one that came out, they had a cover gallery. I don't see any covers in this one. No covers. Huh. So I don't know what issues are in here. That's kind of weird, isn't it?
Yeah, because I know I did check out the Spider-Man one at Walmart as well. I was standing there checking out and was like, oh, take a look at this while I'm waiting, and saw, like you said, there was a cover gallery with.
Here's one
what
cover
was in there.
Avengers 236. Anyways, so that's kind of neat. Comic books back in the grocery store for kids and stuff. I thought
kids.
That was cool.
Right.
Kids, yes, yeah, certainly not the grown ups.
Well,
kids.
You're laughing, but I bought like this for my nephews. I bought two copies for myself, one to read, one to leave at the bathroom as a bathroom reader downstairs. If anybody's, you know, taking a little bit of a kielbasa break and having to filter out a bit of pierogi juice, then they can sit there and read comic books.
There you go.
I got great bathroom readers. I got comics in digest form, and I got those old 80s Mad Magazine paperbacks that we picked up at Omimi at the which one was it that was selling it? It was upstairs at the Armory.
Yeah.
The old Armory. It's the Antiques Mall in the old Armory at Omimi. Upstairs, some guy had, I think it was like a buck for three Mad novels, so I couldn't help myself, but I bought a bunch of those.
Wait, there's comics in Omimi and I didn't know?
No, don't even joke. We've been going to Omimi for what? A year?
Wait.
Barely anything? Nothing? Barely anything?
Wait,
nothing?
You mean Orono?
Yes, Orono, sorry.
Orono, there you go.
There were some in Omimi, but he closed up last year.
Yes.
So Orono, sorry, yes, the Orono flea markets.
Now I'm not concerned.
Oh, okay. And until.
My father.
Yeah.
So backstory.
Let's just take your dad with us everywhere.
So he picked up, let's go back a bit, a few weeks, he bought a couple boxes of comics. So I went up and I had a look through them. He also asked me to pick up some bags and boards for him, and so I did that as well. But, so I go up and I'm looking through the comics, and he's got G.I. Joe 106 and 107. Now 107 it's fairly pricey because it was last issue, low print run, nobody's reading it, right? So it's hard to find. It's like a $30 comic, whatever. So it was in there, and I'm like, oh, man, I need that one for my G.I. Joe. So, you know, he's, okay, well, you go ahead and you take that 107. I'm like, oh, you know, you got me these bags and boards, so we'll do a trade. It's like, oh, great. And so we walk in. My parents wanted to go to Orono last weekend, so we walk into the first place, and right then we walk through the door. There's two short boxes on the counter. So there's a new vendor in there. He's got toys, and he's got two short boxes of comics. I hit the box on the right. It's got some good stuff in it. My dad hits the box on the left. It's half Indiana Jones and half Star Wars. So flipping through it, right at the back, 107, $5, and it was in a lot better shape than the one that he gave me.
Is he keeping it or did he trade it?
Oh yeah, no, he kept it.
Oh.
He's going, oh, I'm so happy I found that again. But I went through the box too and I picked the four or five Star Wars I needed for like $3 or $4. So
I feel like next time your dad goes away for a bit for a fishing trip or whatever, you should stop by his house and
do a switcheroo.
He won't notice.
Oh no,
he won't know.
Do that.
But yeah, we've been going there forever and nothing really. I mean, one or two little books here and there, but nothing super spectacular. And then all of a sudden, ba-doom! Star Wars books from Hack.
Yeah, like. Literally, that one short box was like half Indiana Jones and half Star Wars, which was...
That's bonkers.
The Indiana Jones books are fun, but I used to have a few when I was a kid. But
yeah.
The other one was just a mix of stuff. So I grabbed a 12-cent Superman all beat up for $4 or something. So.
I've got an original art page from that Indiana Jones series.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty hilarious because there's all sorts of comments in the margins and in the sides. And it was like... The Indiana Jones is walking down. Looks like he's walking down Hollywood Boulevard. So there's some jokes and stuff in there. And in the notes, it's like, no, the guy from Star Wars was Luke Skywalker, not Luke Skystalker or something like this. Like, how can you get that wrong? And all these cute comments and stuff. I think it's hilarious. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it adds to the history of it.
Yeah, exactly. That's one of the nice things I like about original art is that you get to see some really weird and funky stuff. Like, I have a... full splash page of a Captain America issue. And what was the name of the guy who eventually became U.S. agent? What was his name? His real name? Just like Steve Rogers. And
yeah, I know.
Anyways, Steve Rogers walks in. Oh, D-Man. It's not U.S. agent.
Oh, D-Man. Yeah.
Anyways, Steve Rogers is walking in, and here's this guy doing weights, right? He's pumping weight. So he's on the bench, and he's like, you know, how much do you lift, bro? So he's lifting, and in the original art, you can see where his nipples were liquid papered out and fake T-shirt lines were drawn in. Right. So obviously he was pumping iron topless in the original.
Yeah.
And somebody at Marvel went like, yeah, that's for sale for kids. Let's cut that out. So they literally just liquid papered out, added a T-shirt line, and then I guess the colorist would have colored in the T-shirt, right?
Yeah.
So that kind of stuff is really neat. I think that's hilarious stuff.
I just think it's funny that, like, they thought that a guy in the gym without a shirt on was too much.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that was the 80s, 90s. I don't know. Was a lot of topless going on in comic books? I don't know. Maybe it was the Comic Code Authority was still in effect, and then maybe it was like an archaic rule in the comic code. No, you're allowed to show them in like skin tight spandex, but no nipples.
Yeah,
nipples are out. That's George Clooney fella.
That's still the rule. That was a plastic nipple.
Yeah, right? And still he caught grief over it for how long?
He still is. We still make fun of him for it. There you go.
Exactly. We're doing it right now.
Literally, right now.
And to answer the question, John Walker was...
That's it. Yes, US John agents. Walker. That's who I was thinking of. So, yeah, like he's walking in, the speech blue is like, hey, Walker, what are you doing? Or something like this. Or, hey, Walker, do you call that lifting?
Because he was a bit of a jerk, eh? Wasn't he not? US agent?
Yeah. Yeah, John Walker was a bit of a showboat, Guy Gardner style. Yeah. I was about to say male member wad.
Yeah.
It was just a bit of a Nimrod, but... Anyways, so yeah, that happened. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Anything else? Exciting? Nope. Okay, cue the closing credits.
All right. I didn't read anything. I spent much time with comic books this week, but I didn't read anything, unfortunately. Sorting and unsorting.
Are you going to spend the next 48 minutes trying to convince me to buy comics?
No, I think I've already done it.
There you go. I read
the offer that you couldn't refuse.
And yet... Refuse he did.
And yet I haven't said yes.
That's right. Free delivery?
Okay. Free delivery. What?
Not to mention free short boxes to go.
Free delivery. It's
free short boxes, but they're full of comics.
Yeah.
That's right.
I did read the latest issue of Superman. Oh, did you guys read it?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Superman 28.
You were crying like a baby.
I was bawling like a baby. Yeah. You can tell by the cover. I mean, it's got to do with vets.
Yes.
And I got this weird thing about the military and stuff, and I get a little touched whenever. Like that one commercial where the kid is standing there on the beaches of Dieppe, and he's like, hey, Grandpa, oh, just wanted to... Oh, like right now, I'm getting a little verklempt over it. You guys talk amongst yourselves. But yeah, that gets me every time. So right now, Superman, Lois, and the kid are on a little bit of tour of America. Do you remember when he did that in New 52? He went on that little
walking tour. Yeah.
Well, they're doing the same thing only, but as a family, right?
Yeah.
So they're literally in Washington and stuff, and they come across, you know, the old Washington Monument, the Vietnam War Monument. They went to Gettysburg and stuff, and something really cool happens in Gettysburg, and there's a little bit of a touching moment. It's like Superman can't sleep, and Lois Lane just looks at him, and she's like, I'm surprised you took this long, Smallville, knowing full well that, you know, we had exactly what he was going to go do. And that's just, like, this Superman comic is firing on all cylinders. Superman is, like, big, strong, noble, and the Boy Scout, and typically Canadian. And Lois Lane is, like, you know, the sassy... I'm smarter than you, and I know it, but I still love you, chick. And oh, it's just a great comic. And then, you know, it's the weepy moment, and you're like, that's so touchy. And it's done in one comic, too. So that's kind of neat that, you know, they're doing more and more stories where it's just one issue, and that's the whole story.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's possibly a fill-in issue. And it feels like a fill-in issue, but it doesn't. You know what I mean? Like, it's part of the story. Yeah.
It's not just some random bank robber that he saves or something, right? It's
an actual exactly.
story.
So, that's pretty cool. It was a great comic, and there were reviews about it all over the place on the interwebs, talking about how cool it was and stuff like this.
I'm about 4 issues behind, I think.
Oh, it was just a great issue. You know what I didn't read? Generations Banner Hulk versus Totally Awesome Hulk.
Is that out already?
Yeah, that came out on Wednesday. Now, it was the only Generations book that came out. I don't know if other ones were supposed to or not. So this is Bruce Banner and Amadeus Cho, right?
Okay, now, okay, so who is, explain this to me, because I would like to know. I don't want to buy it. Tell me, is this our Bruce Banner, or is this a Bruce Banner from a different dimension?
I didn't read it yet.
Oh, sorry, you said you haven't read it.
Yeah, no, I haven't read it yet. I'm just, because, you know, me and Marvel right now, we're not friends right now, so.
Well, I got suckered into Secret Empire, so you read Generations and tell me.
Okay,
I'll read Generations. I'm not buying Generations, too.
Well, the idea is just that they're going to make a few one-shots where, you know, the original meets the new, and it's supposed to be touching and legacy and, you know, tug on your heartstrings, and then they're going to molest you in a very nice way through the back door.
Well, I thought it was bringing back characters.
Well, from what I'm just skimming here.
This one makes sense.
And from skimming, it looks like a time travel thing.
Ugh.
Because he's back in the desert with, you know, Hulk will smash!
Purple pants.
With the purple pants. So I feel like it's like a time travel. But then there's the, I don't know who this is, the Loch Ness Monster. No, not Loch Ness Monster. Creature from the Black Lagoon is here. And he's like Tokyo size. He's crushing cars. Right. I don't get that. I don't know what that
is. They all must be time travelers or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because Jean Grey, young Jean Grey with Phoenix Jean Grey. And
like, basically, it's just supposed to say, look, here's the bone we're going to throw you since you're complaining about your legacy characters. And then this leads into Incredible Hulk 709, which I don't know. I'm not reading the Hulk, so I don't know whether it's a new storyline, old storyline.
Is that the cover to 709?
Apparently this is the cover to 709.
Does it look like Bruce or Cho? Has he got the little hair thing going on?
I don't know. You tell me. It's either Bruce with in the wind, or it's Cho with extra hair.
Didn't the preview say it was Cho?
I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure.
I literally, last previews, didn't open up the Marvel previews part. I didn't even look. I just tossed it to the side and ended up getting recycled before I had a chance to read it, and I was not upset.
Somebody where I bought comics put one in my bag, and I could barely get through it. It's like, no, sorry.
Oh, this issue?
No, the previews.
Oh, the previews.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, no, I just, no. Bleh. So I didn't read that, but it's supposed to be a thing, I guess.
Well, the previews had the planet symbiote thing going on.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right?
I don't know either. I am so unenthusiastic about it. New God special came out, right? The DC's doing a little bit of a tribute to Jack Kirby, so it's doing some specials based on the Fourth World. And New God special number one came out. I got through. See, this is the problem with going out of town for comics on a Wednesday. You get home, you get changed, you pick up Sam, you drive down to Whippy. You pick up your stuff. You get distracted by dinner and dollar stores and not buying Ghostbuster action figures. Then you get home, and it's 10:30. It's time for bed.
Yeah.
You know, I got to work the next day. And I had a pretty big meeting this week, and I got all anxious about it and anxiety and stuff. So I had to get my stuff in order and all that sort of stuff. And I got three pages in, and I was tired. I had to go to bed. So I haven't read the whole thing, but the first three pages is pretty good. How's that for prepping for a radio show?
Yeah.
There you go. The first three pages were pretty good, and then I fell asleep. Art was pretty good.
More than you read from Generations.
Oh, but then NASCAR came on, and I had to go to bed. But other than that,
I've been binging.
Yeah.
The Scooby-Doo Apocalypse.
Scooby-Apocalypse,
because I actually had only read, so like they're on issue 16. And I had read the first four and then just kept collecting it. Because, like, I'm going to collect it no matter what. Because
you're a Scooby fan.
Yeah, Scooby fan. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to read this sucker. And so I read, like, five issues. And it's good. I still really enjoy it. I don't know if anything has happened in each issue, though, because I read so many. And I'm like, they still haven't really resolved any plot. But it is literally Scooby-Doo Apocalypse, like something has turned all of the human beings in the entire world into monsters except for like the Mystery Inc. gang, and they're running around America trying to solve the thing, but Velma's actually like secretly part of the bad guy team, but it was an accident and stuff, and yeah, but it's good.
Well, I read the first one. I thought it was pretty good art and stuff. It seemed to be pretty good, but...
What I actually like was halfway through, I think, like, issue 7, the art changed from the, like, more realistic dark style to a slightly more cartoon style. And I was like, this is actually way cooler to have this dark story in, like, a cartoon style.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, having... the, you know, more realistic dark art.
Yeah.
It just, because it's like I'm reading like an old Scooby comic, but it's just really messed up.
Yeah.
And I actually really liked it, so. Yeah.
And I did, I think I read issues 1 and maybe 2, so it was a whole new.
Yes.
A whole
Well, it ruined story. Your childhood, according to that article we were making fun of on Facebook.
Yeah, that was funny.
My childhood is ruined by this comic that I can choose to not read.
That's right.
Or even acknowledge its existence. It's not like it's a part of, you know, some ongoing continuity.
Yeah, just pull a Sam and just refuse to acknowledge that it exists.
But,
Hey, Sam, did you like Phantom Menace? What is that? Is that a fan film? That was my first attempt at a Sam voice. I don't know how well I did. Hurry! Where's my hat?
Comics to put in my mouth.
That's right. Oh, man.
So I also read some other stuff. How about we talk about Captain Canuck number 1? Or season 3, issue 1. Or issue 12, as we're going to call it forevermore.
Okay.
You like that one, right?
Yeah, it was great. I thought it was great.
But we'll skip that part.
The cover, yeah.
But
it's a bit of a...
The issue itself, I thought was really good. I really like the art in the issue. Does it feel like they've changed, like, the printing?
They have definitely changed.
Yes, because it's, like, thicker cover. Yeah. The pages feel thicker, too. I really like... I'm fondling the comic book right now.
There you go. We
turn off the lights and put some music on for me, guys.
We found something about the cover that I promised I wouldn't talk about because I don't want to get in trouble and get banned from Facebook groups.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to leave it all cryptic, and if anybody wants to know, they can ask, and I probably will refuse to admit. But, yeah, there's a little thing about the cover that raised some eyebrows in the community. But
you discussed it behind the scenes with anybody besides the people in this room?
Yes.
Oh,
it was actually brought to my attention by somebody outside of this room.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah.
So you're not the sole...
I am poop, not the sole person,
the poop
but...
disturber.
I actually it's a graphic thing. Like, the cover's done by John Gallagher, and it's a beautiful cover. It's really nice. It's kind of art, computer-painted style. It's very detailed. There's lots there. And... we found just a small little thing, and it's not a massive thing. It's a Greg Land thing, but you know, it's fine, it's okay. But again, we're not going to discuss it.
No, we're certainly not already discussing it.
Well, right. We're not going to discuss it any further. But anyways, it's a very nice cover. I still think that the caliber of the artwork, he'd do great doing sci-fi novels and stuff like this, covers for novels and stuff. Very nice.
So I'm mildly okay. So when I read the issue, I was a little thrown off because after the Free Comic Book Day year 1 backstory issue,
right?
I thought this would be something like that, and I was like, no, wait, this is picking up from where we left off.
Yeah, this is definitely picking right off. Like, what Chapter House is doing is they've decided to kind of adopt a Dark Horse style printing style, where instead of, okay, we're going to try to come out with a comic every month, and we're having difficulty with that because of the talent involved and stuff like this. Because, I mean, it's a great comic book, and it takes a lot of time and effort to put in to produce it, right? It's not some schlocky piece of junk that's just getting thrown together. It's a top-notch comic. So, you know, the artists, the writers and stuff. So rather than have a weird production schedule and delayed books and stuff, we're going to put it out in 4-issue arcs. We're going to make 4 issues. We're going to have them in the can. We're going to have them done. And we're going to release those 4 issues as an arc. And that's what they started with the Agents of Pact. Here's your first 4 issues of Agent of Pact. Here's your first 4 issues of Freelance. And now is the second batch of that. And it's going to be Fantoma and Captain Canuck. And in between that, they've got some other stuff coming out, like Pitiful Human Lizard and stuff like this. And so this is the beginning of that 4-issue arc. So it's being labeled as season 3 because it's the 3rd story arc in the new Captain Canuck. First one was Alf. And the second one was, I don't know how they pronounce that, Alf? Ilf?
Aleph, maybe? Aleph. I don't know, that gives you the most pronunciation, so that's what I use.
For decades, it was Dark Seed. It was not Dark Side, it was Dark Seed. That's just how it ran. And Luke Skywalker ran around in Bespin Fatigues. But that, I'm just going to put that out there. English is my second language.
If only we knew people involved in the production that we could ask how to pronounce this.
And then the second was Gauntlet, was the second storyline. So this is season three. But down in the UPC code box area, they make note that this is issue 12 of the regular series.
Oh, okay.
Issue 12.
So just like how DC has their DC Rebirth banners, and they like have the arc title at the top, and they say blah, 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 part one, blah, 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 part two. That's exactly what this is. This is the first issue of season three, 12th issue of the regular series. And takes right up off the end of issue 11. Does make note of some of the stuff that happened in the Agents of Pact series. But there's enough of a little intro that if you read that intro, you don't need to have read the other stuff to enjoy it. You kind of get it.
Well, especially considering that, like, so have all four issues of Agents of Pact come out?
Oh.
Because I only have issue one and two.
All four issues of Freelance came out.
Yeah.
I don't think all four issues of Pact did.
Because I was about to say, because otherwise I think my comic book store didn't give me my issues.
I'll have to look.
Because... So we're going to have some issues.
I'll have to look.
Because I only have one and two so far. Yeah. And now I'm worried I'm missing some, so I'll have to look into it.
Because I put them to the side. Like, I quickly skimmed them when they came out, but I put them to the side and I'm going to reread them as an arc. And I know I reread Freelance, but I'm not sure if I reread Agents of Pact, so I'll have to take a look. But
yeah, I thought the story was pretty awesome, top notch. Yeah. And I like the art. And I like, as I said, I like the feel of the book now. It's got this really cool just feel to it.
Yeah. So it's Kalman doing the writing just like he did on the other issues. Yep. Leonard Kirk doing it's kind of weird. They split the art between Leonard and a new gal. What's her name? Emmanuel? It's French. I'm not even sure I should try. What do we got here?
Chateauneuf.
Oh, nice.
Chateauneuf.
I like that. We're going with that. Chateauneuf.
Well, it's a good thing that Jay Baruchel came and saved the Canadian comic book industry.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second.
We're going to talk for 2 weeks to say
we're
going to
talk about that for a second. So they just list them as artists.
Yeah.
So did Leonard do quick pencils and this lady did the inks, or did Leonard do layouts and she did finished pencils and inks? Or
I think she's down for – I saw that she did the inks on something.
Yeah.
So
in this book, they just kind of do a joint thing. And usually when something like that happens, when the main artist doesn't quite get finished in time and somebody else comes in, you see the difference in the book. Right, the first few pages is different than the last few pages. This is pretty consistent all the way through.
Yeah.
So they did, I think they did a great job of working together. I know Harry's got a few minor issues with the art. He's not as happy with it as 100% Leonard.
Burn his fan card.
But
burn his fan card.
Burn it.
This comic book, the art, the cover, even with all the little glitchy issues and stuff, is easily, no exaggeration, 3,000 times better than that issue of X-Men Blue that made me drop the title.
Yeah.
That was the issue just before they did the Secret Empire crossover.
Yeah.
Like, that was just, I'm paying $3.99 for a flagship title, and I never like to poop on anybody, but that person who did that art was not ready for a title of that caliber.
See,
like, I saw better art in Blue Water books.
I'm buying them because of the Arthur Adams cover, so I might as well read them.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I was, and it was the same thing with Champions when they did the Secret Empire crossover. It was just like, the main title has nothing to do with Secret Empire. And you throw in this issue that seems like the whole time it's been in Secret Empire. I just like Champions. I just went flip, 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 flip. I'm not reading this.
Well, same thing happened with Inhumans. I was reading the Inhumans book, and then they had that crossover where everybody got evil, and suddenly Medusa was the Black Queen almost. And it was, okay, forget about all your storylines. Forget about all your plot points. Forget about all your subplots. You're going to do this for the next, few issues. And then when it came back, it totally ignored it. Yeah. Like, they totally destroyed the flow of the book. And I'm positive that the original creators artist, writer, and stuff were upset that the flow of the story like got disrupted like that. There's no way they were happy with it.
Yeah.
There's no way. No and way. It just destroyed it. The same thing happened with Blue. Like, there was that flaky art issue, which really, quite frankly, peed me off. Then there was the crossover, which I went, oh, darn, here we go again. And then the issue that came up after that was equally as like, ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
The covers are amazing.
Ugh. Yeah, so I was quite disappointed by that. So, getting back to your point, Chris here referred to a CBC article that mentioned Jay Baruchel, the writer of movies like Goon, and I think he was a producer as well, starred in it, and he's been in other movies, and he's an actor and a producer and stuff. He's involved with Chapter House now. He invested into Chapter House. All because he wrote the year one story and he got excited about it. And it's great. It's fantastic. There's nothing, no negativity there at all. The guy's pure maple syrup in the veins, Canadian. He loves Canada. He promotes Canada as much as possible. You know, The Goon was produced in Canada. He had Canadian actors working on it, a Canadian film crew. Like, the guy's patriotic as heck. He's funny, smart, witty. It's going to be great. There's no problem. Zero problem with Jay. However, the headline was from CBC. I don't have it in front of me, but so I'm paraphrasing. But it was like, Jay Baruchel saves the Canadian comic book industry. Or
I think
he's,
it was a question.
He's here
can,
to
can
save.
Can Jay Baruchel
oh, yeah.
save?
Can he save Canadian the Canadian comics. Comic book industry? And the whole positivity of the article was completely ruined by how annoyed and mad I was at the headline. Like, it made it sound like we're just a bunch of ants on a log swimming around the toilet waiting for it to go down. You know? That there's 16 holes in the canoe and we're drowning. Like, I'm sorry. Yes, the Canadian comic book industry could be bigger, could be larger. Nothing would please me more if Chapter House suddenly became third largest publisher in North America. I'd love that. But we're not in such dire straits. We've got a huge, massive, thriving indie community. All you got to do is look at Artist Alley at big shows like Fan Expo. All you got to do is look at all the comic art festivals that are popping up. There is a massive, thriving Canadian comic book community that doesn't need to be saved. Nothing needs to be saved. Can it be enhanced? Absolutely. Can it be made larger? Sure. More successful? Absolutely. Better? Yes. Saved? No. No.
No.
Like, if this was on HBO at 10 o'clock, I'd be throwing F-bombs everywhere. Because, you know, F you, CBC. Just... I didn't even make note of who wrote that article because I probably would have, like, stalked him on Facebook and sent him a message going, are you still... But it's just, I don't think you completely grasp the emergence of the independent community and your mother wears army boots.
You're like me with that article that critic about the Dunkirk.
Yeah? Oh, that was another wahoo. Oh, it's just...
Oh, anyways, let's not.
We won't even get into the Dunkirk thing because that wasn't comic books, but.
So let's say the. Because, like, the CBC, whoever wrote the CBC article probably isn't a comic book fan, or at least isn't a fan of anything non Marvel.
Us comic book guys and girls are everywhere. We are everywhere. There is no way that there is a CBC staff writer, a CBC staff writer that's qualified to write that article that isn't a comic book fan and knows about Pitiful Human Lizard, Auric of the Great White North, Big Nick. Let's just keep firing these off.
North. Aurora Man.
Neon Black.
Like, yep.
Black Hole Hunters Club.
Yeah.
Like, we can just keep firing these things off. There's no way that... I almost got in trouble. I almost named somebody by name.
I don't even know what you're
I'm about
now.
To get thrown out of a Facebook group. Anyways, there's no way that there isn't somebody in the CBC building that isn't familiar with the great Canadian comics that are out there. There's just no way possible. And if they found that person, the article would have had a different tone, different everything. And again, this has got nothing to do with Jay. He's just going to bring a lot of positive stuff to Chapter House. It's going to be great. But saving, really? Yeah. Saving?
Bad choice of words.
Saving? You know what'll save the industry? Sending in your scripts on time so the comic book comes out on a regular basis. That'll save the industry.
Not swapping up artists every other issue.
Yeah, that'll save the industry. Oh, man, that just annoyed the snot out of me. And again, I had to be really, really careful because it's not slagging Jay Baruchel in any way, shape, or form.
No.
It's got nothing to do with him. It's just they could have used a different word. You know? Can he make it better? Like, I don't know. I mean, sure, maybe it'd be great if more Canadian comic books were distributed in the comic shops, but it's the same thing with television in Canada. The majority of the TV shows that we watch are American-funded American productions. You know, we hide the fact that they're being produced in Canada by putting tax credits at the end. Instead of saying, you know, at the beginning, probably made in Canada and paid for by Canadian dollars. We put in little itty-bitty little scripts in the back of it. This qualified for the British Columbia film tax credit. I think all those logos should be at the front. Made in Canada. Well, in your face.
I hadn't realized till this week that parts of the remake of It were filmed in, like, Coburg or Port Hope or something. Or Oshawa, I guess, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So. Like a lot, ton of stuff is made in Canada. But anyways, that's just a little mini rant that kind of bothered me.
I watched
that was not a mini rant. No. That was a full rant.
I'm surprised that movie about Bill Finger.
Batman and Bill.
I've only watched the first part of it.
Oh really?
I was gonna make a Freddy Got Fingered joke.
That documentary made me cry too.
But I haven't watched it all.
Yeah.
But the guy talking, he said that, you know, Superman was created by two boys from New York. Right. And you said that at the beginning. It was like...
Wrong.
Well, technically, they're from Cleveland.
Well, maybe he said Cleveland. I thought he said New York. But yeah. Either way, like, is not one of them Canadian?
Kind of. It depends. Aren't they
kind of Canadian?
See, this is a debate for Tweedle, right? Back in the day, America did not allow you to have joint citizenship. So if you became American, you had to forego your Canadian citizenship. The Governor General's Award for Canadian Literature is awarded to anybody who is a Canadian, regardless of where the work was produced. So if you're Canadian living in England, it qualifies. Back then, in the 30s and stuff, if you were Canadian and you moved to the U.S., you had to give up your Canadian citizenship to swear allegiance only to America. So if the Governor General Awards were awarded back then, that person wouldn't qualify for that award. So does that make him not Canadian? Technically, yes. Which one was it? Schuster. Joe Schuster.
Yeah.
He was the Canadian boy. And he moved to Cleveland, I can't remember what it was, 9, 7, 10, somewhere around there. So does that make him any less Canadian? I got to say, absolutely not. My mom is from Poland. She came here when she was, gosh only knows, I can't remember. My dad was 18 when he came. Been here since 68. Still speaks Polish more than English. Still has, massive accent. Still reads Polish newspapers. Still watches Polish TV. So that boy grew up as a Canadian. He was raised with Canadian values. He was raised as a Canadian in Toronto area. And then when he moves to the States, he comes back to Canada on a regular basis over the summers to vacation with his aunt. So he still continued that connection to Canada. And then when they draw and write Superman, he's, you know, the Daily Star was based on the Toronto Star. Metropolis was based on Toronto along the shore of Lake Ontario, all this sort of stuff. So technically, he may not have been a Canadian citizen in 1938 when Action Comics number one came out. Maybe he was. Like, maybe he was just visiting landed immigrant status in the U.S. Like, I don't know 1930s U.S. immigration policy. But there's no way that there isn't a massive amount of Canadian-ishness, Canadian DNA in the character of Superman. He behaves more like a stereotypical Canadian than he does an American. Truth, justice, and the American way. Well, that's great, but stopping and helping your neighbor, not beating up the bad guy. I hate to tell you this, that's not really an American characteristic.
Wow.
You know, not being selfish and greedy and thinking only about yourself and the almighty dollar. Seems more Canadian than American to me.
Well, we're becoming more and more like Americans, unfortunately.
Well, that's the problem.
Beating people up with billy clubs on bikes.
That's the problem living so close, right? Yeah, I don't care what Sam Tweedle says. There's a massive amount of Canadian content in Superman, in his DNA, in his character, in the creators that created it. So, you know, he's American because they put him on a cover with an American flag. So what? So what? He's literally an immigrant to the planet. And to the country.
Yeah.
He's literally not an American. He's a Kryptonian immigrant.
There you go.
So, you know, whatever is what it is. Lauren Green's a Canadian. Captain Kirk's a Canadian. Nobody ever said that they're not Canadian. Shut up.
Speaking of Canadian comics.
Yes.
I have two more to talk about.
Excellent. Let's do that. Let's unrant.
Here's one that I don't know if you guys have heard of, Witch Creek Row.
I have not heard of this.
I follow this weird Facebook page called I Love Horror Comics, and this one was brought to my attention by them. And it's a horror comic about witches, I think, but I'm not entirely sure. But it is a Canadian comic, or at least partially produced in Canada. It was mailed to me from British Columbia by the writer, so he must be Canadian.
There you go.
So.
His name is Garth Mathams, and it's a really great issue one. I was literally just flipping the pages, reading this thing fast. Couldn't wait to get to the end. Got to the end and went, man, issue two, come on.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you guys are into horror comics at all. I've been on a bit of a horror binge with lots of redneck and the Image titles, lots of Image horror comics and stuff. And this one came along at the right time and really, really made me go, yeah, this is good.
Well, I'm going to take a picture of the cover so I can find it because I can't help but notice there's only one copy here. Nobody bought extras for their friends just in case thinking that their friends would like it. I just can't help but notice that.
Well, I did a Kickstarter for the issue.
Okay, I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
Yeah, it ended quite a while ago.
I'll give you that.
So the Kickstarter ended. I got some, there were some cool perks. They had, because it follows a couple of high school kids. And one of the perks is they make up little fake write-ups for their yearbook and put them on cards and stuff, and it's just a fun Kickstarter perks, and also just a great comic that I really enjoyed. And then another great comic that I read, have you guys read your copy of Neon Black issue 2 yet?
Of course.
I don't have one.
Chris is fired. The door is open. You may leave.
Yes.
Did you get number 1?
Yes.
Okay.
Kevin, Chris signed. Needs a number 2.
Oh, I'm sure we can pick up one for Chris. That's not a problem.
Yes, it's funny because after Kevin was on the show 2 weeks ago, we got our copies. I was talking to him over Facebook a few days later about something, and in between him, I was talking to him, and then he disappeared off of Facebook for 20 minutes, and he came back, and I was like, okay, I just reread issue 1 and read issue 2, now where's issue 3?
Yeah, let's get going.
Yeah, come on, I need it! So, but issue 2 I thought it was pretty good. It is, he said, when he was here, it's a bit of the world building for Neon Black. And I would agree, you see a lot more outside of just the main characters.
Yeah, this is definitely a series that I put to the side as well. You know, just skim read real quick the issue, but I need to read it all in a bunch because I think it'll be better. So, Kevin, get off your bum and get some more issues into my collection so I can read it all as a group.
There you go.
That's the only problem with independent Canadian creators. Okay, maybe Jay can save us from this.
But, like, I agree. But also, you know, we all have to work day jobs.
Well, that's the thing. Too, right? Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not blaming anybody. The folks that are doing this kind of stuff and doing it, you know, in between of dealing with their kids and soccer games and you know, working full time and stuff. And I don't blame them. I'm just, you know, wish it was different because I like my comics on a monthly fix. Heck,
yeah.
I'm on a bi-monthly fix now or duo monthly fix or...
But you know, a few of our favorite creators are doing a pretty good job of getting their stuff out there quickly. Like Auric number 4 is already in the works, and North issue 3 already in the works. So like, you know, they're coming out faster than maybe expected, which is cool because like there's nothing worse than the wait in between. It's like if you're a fan of a band and they take 10 years to release their next album, you know, you don't want to wait 10 years. You want the next one right now, except this is literally a continuing story.
I need more and I need it now. Give it to me now. I need more now.
So, but yeah. And, or, I mean, they could do what Happily Ever After has done. Like to throw out a congratulations to Ricky for making his goal of $15,000 for the Happily Ever After graphic novel.
That's brilliant.
So he actually finished at about $15,800. And so you'll be getting a graphic novel for that, not just a single issue that you've got to wait for the next issue.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
He'll have the complete story available for you when you get it. So, you know, that's something too.
Did he say anything about this thing being available to regular people? Maybe
to
Fan Expo and stuff? Like, what's the timeline?
Well, I don't think it's going to be that quick because Fan Expo is just a month away now.
Yeah.
Right? I think they're still working on it. But I will continue to scroll down until you see some pictures of me as a part of the Kickstarter. There we go.
It's Dan making love to his issue.
Lovingly holding the issue. I'm the paper cut cuddler, apparently.
It's great. It's wonderful. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to, I was part
of the... I would have said that it's pretty hot, those pictures.
Sexy. Yeah, I got the first issue through the Kickstarter.
Yeah.
I will confess, my Kickstarter budget is a lot limited compared to what it used to be. So... Ricky was not quite there, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to drop some dollars. I'm going to get it. And logged into the Kickstarter, and the Facebook thing pops up. Yay, we did it! And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, you did it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I kind of missed out.
Just don't listen to Dan Collins when you're talking about Kickstarters, because one time he told me, it's not going to make it. Might as well just give him $5,000, because it's not going to do it. And it did it. So,
yeah.
Good thing I didn't give him that $5,000.
Yeah. Well, you should never pledge $5,000 to any Kickstarter, no matter how far away they are from their goal. Because Ellen DeGeneres could come on board and suddenly, next thing you know, boom.
Yeah.
Boom.
So out of guilt of not supporting this Kickstarter, I'm definitely going to have to pick it up physically when I see Ricky and he's got it available.
And also him and Shane are working on Black Hole Hunters Club number 8.
I shouldn't say out of guilt because it's a good book.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm like doing them a favor, like, oh, here's my $10 or here's my $20. It's a great book, so I'll get entertainment value out of it for sure. But I wish I could support as many Kickstarters as I did last year, but I cannot.
So I actually feel like I would rather support a Kickstarter than buy comic books from the comic book store.
Up to a point.
Because, like, you know, you never know if you're going to get a Witch Creek Road or, you know, something that's just going to, you're going to get it and be like, this is amazing. This is something that I'm really enjoying.
But sometimes it's not amazing.
Sometimes it's not, yes.
Like Raven Gregory.
But, like, he's not a Canadian, somebody that you're supporting who's Canadian either.
I totally blame Sam Tweedle for that.
We blame Sam for everything. Did he put it in his mouth?
The comics came chewed up and beat the snot and... It's like, how does a comic book person not know how to package a comic book? Oh. And then he gave me lip, called me entitled for wanting a comic book that wasn't dog-eared when it showed up in the mail. I'm like, what?
Oh, man.
What?
His name's Raven. I don't think you can call anybody else entitled.
Mrs. Dixon treated comic books better than Raven Gregory did when he packaged them. And that's saying something. Jeez Louise. Anyways.
Oh, boy.
But, something popped up when you were talking about that, and I was going to chat about it, but I totally forgot what.
Which part of the supporting Kickstarters is better than buying comic books from your local comic store?
No.
You know, I've been buying Daredevil for 2 years and haven't read an issue.
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I haven't read an issue.
Then why are you buying it?
I don't know, because I don't like to stop things. Yeah. But
I've been buying Justice League of America for 10 years and not enjoying each issue, so I guess I'm in the same boat.
Yeah, we all are.
Sometimes there's some good issues.
I got so much stuff I haven't read.
But then, what if it's great? You know, what if Daredevil is amazing and I'm just missing out because I would rather read Captain Canuck or Witch Creek Road?
Something you're going to have to answer yourself.
I'll just tuck it in at the back and keep collecting.
I tell you what is amazing. Shirtless Bear Fighter.
Shirtless Bear Fighter.
Shirtless Bear Fighter is the greatest thing ever since sliced bread. The only thing that could make Shirtless Bear Fighter better
is if you invented sliced bread.
Is if it was Canadian and Jay Baruchel was involved. Other than that, it's a pretty darn great comic book.
I haven't read issue the week 2.
Came out the week before, I think. The second print of number 1 came out.
Yeah.
I don't know if Sam threw one in your pile at World's Collider.
No, because I got copies of the original. Okay. Yeah, at Big B in Hamilton.
Right on.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Put that thing away. For Pete's sakes, put on some pants. God,
is
that
issue 2 keep it going? I haven't read yet.
Oh, issue 2 is just hilarious. I'm laughing my face off. Anybody that hasn't read it yet, there's a little montage where he's fighting bears in different cities. So they show him fighting in Seattle, and they show him fighting in like Florida, New York, and all this stuff. Then they show him fighting bears in Chicago. I almost spewed milk out of my nose like crazy. Then they showed him fighting bears in San Francisco, and I literally died. I dropped the comic on the table, rolled around the floor so bad the kids ran, got my asthma puffer because I was laughing so hard, and I'm sitting here. Oh, it was hilarious. Such a funny book.
Little Birdie told me some good news today that I almost forgot.
Uh-oh.
Because of the strong Canadian dollar?
Yeah.
But some stores adjusting their prices in our favor.
Yeah, Worlds Collide did. You know how Worlds Collide has that little sign on the cash register saying, due to horrible circumstances, the American dollar has forced us to. Well, he's just taking the exact same sign with a pen, you know, saying, due to scratch, fortuitous circumstances, we are now able to scratch, lower our prices to scratch 20% instead of 25%. So, yeah, he's dropped his price again. But then he does, like, make a note at the bottom, just don't get used to it.
You know. Well, this little birdie was Steve from CBA. Yeah. So.
Well, it is what it is. I mean, the exchange rate is the exchange rate. You're buying an American product and it's coming in, you got to pay. It's period.
Yeah.
Which, you know, maybe that's something Jay can look at. How come we're buying Chapter House books in American dollars and paying U.S. exchange rate for Chapter House books?
Yeah.
Printed and published in Canada.
Look
what it did to Nerd Blog.
And printed in Canada and then shipped to the United States and then shipped back up here for distribution.
Yeah, just like Nerd Blog.
That's how you can save the comic book industry.
Yeah. Nerdblock. Oh.
Now, is Nerdblock in Oshawa, are they closed? Are they done?
We drove by and the store was closed.
Oh, okay.
And somebody phoned the mall, and the mall in Pickering said that they were doing inventory.
Oh, yeah, right.
But if for anybody that doesn't know, Nerdblock, Joe Nerds, Comic Block, that company seems to have run into some issues and has ceased operations. They had some retail locations. They're all closed. There's a bunch of ex-employees or people claiming to be ex-employees on Reddit saying that they were all let go and no notice. And there's a couple of vendors that we know personally that said, yeah, they owe us some money and things are not great. And so it's gone. I don't know where we're going to get our clothes now.
When you have a Canadian company with a Canadian subscription program that they ship down to the States and charge you U.S. dollars and ship back. Like, that's how it started, does it not?
Yeah, because what it is what they do is they produce the product and then, they ship it down to the States to a distribution company whose whole operation is just mailing packages. So they, here's the stuff, mail it out for us. So everything got transferred into U.S. dollars and U.S. shipping rates. And so here's stuff coming out of Oshawa, which is just down the highway, and we were paying, what was it? I don't want to lie.
$16
for shipping each month?
Yeah, like I never subscribed because of that.
You know, so when they opened up the retail locations, I stopped getting the box because I could just stop at the store and buy the T-shirt I wanted, and we stopped by a lot. I have two dressers full of T-shirts. So, but, yeah, no more. So I was all upset, too, because that's where I was getting my coffee. Deadly Grounds, Dark and Deadly Roast.
Ooh.
Amazingly tasty coffee.
Hmm.
The guy sells it at the Curtis Flea Market, and he was also selling it at Joe Nerd's. So every time I was Joe Nerd's, I'd pick it up. So now I'm panicking. I'm like, where am I going to get this coffee? And it's a serious addiction. Like, I've bought 16 pounds. 16 pounds of coffee from other companies to try to find something that's similar. None of it's similar. So I'm panicking, and somebody's like, well, why don't you just check the Deadly Grounds website, you computer internet pioneer who used to surf the internet at 2800 baud? Maybe you should, like, use Google.
Google it.
So I did, and sure enough, there's a company, a little bake shop up on Lansdowne, near the corner of Brayley, right by the old Rock Haven. That sells Deadly Grounds coffee, so I'm swinging by to say hi and buy myself a butter tart and a pound of coffee.
Is that the O'Brayley? What store's that?
You know, right across from the mall that has Apollo and the Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
Well, the right across the street, the strip mall.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Apparently, there's a little bake shop there. I can't remember what they were called, and I'm doing them a disservice, but I will definitely be picking up a business card and pumping it on the radio station when I get that amazing coffee. So good.
So good.
You think hot and sweaty Marty on a Friday is annoying? You should see me without coffee Monday morning, or Tuesday morning, or Wednesday morning, or Thursday morning. I need my caffeine. Don't get between me and my bean.
That's right.
Quickly, I was just looking up the generations thing, and this might be spoilers, so turn away if you don't want to be spoiled, but I think the article on Bleeding Cool says that what Marvel decided to do was make Amadeus Cho more like Bruce Banner, in that he feels like the Hulk is a curse now and wants to get rid of it, instead of being the totally awesome, cool guy who is happy with it.
Oh, so that's worse.
That's how they decided to fix the comic book industry.
See, that's worse. We don't have any time, but that's worse. No.
We'll just start ranting now and then continue next week.
Yeah, if you make a new character, make them do. Anyways.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?